So we need to be thinking and praying for the item under personality. Yes, ma'am.
Sad news indeed, and I would love to propose that as a portfolio committee, we send him a bouquet of flowers and a get well card. I'm sure we will find money somewhere in your budget, Chairperson. Thanks.
Hi. Special welcome to Dembojan. We have been missing you for some time. Welcome back. Yes. Honorable, welcome. Yes. I think what we need to do is to just go through to remind ourselves of the work that we did, which was last Tuesday. Just to let ourselves as to where we are. And as I said, before I forget, this bill is going to be debated next Tuesday, the 19th. Next Tuesday, the 19th. Remember, that is just one slot in our parliamentary program that we're having. And then we'll be coming back, I think, sometime, I don't know when. Can I suggest, therefore, that we just briefly go through and remind ourselves of the proposed changes in the national qualifications. Come around, do you want to lead us?
Sorry, Chair, are we going close by close now?
When we come voting, we'll be knowing what we are voting for.
Yeah, well, the first, I think there are documents that are being given out, and on that document, there are proposed amendments, and those are the ones that I just want to, those are the ones we discussed last week, and those are the ones that that I want to introduce again. In clause one, on page 3, line 27, after Act to omit that 1998, that is skills development provider, means skills development provider contemplated in section 17 of the Skills Development Act, and we delete 1998. Then the next one under 1 is line 30, referring to Malusi means a council established by section 4 of GenFedco Act, and then to remove 2001 or to omit 2001 Act number 58 of 2001. Then the next one is clause 4. It's a small amendment, page 3, line 45, after system to omit of guidelines. So it reads the NQF is a comprehensive system approved by the minister, and then it follows. We remove of guidelines. Then clause 5. In line 15, to omit and to insert a single, that is 5-1-A. So 5-1-A will then read as follows. Create a single integrated national framework for learning achievements. Okay, that's clause 5. We go then the next one. Then on page 5 in line
then if after if, you can set one if one, you can develop a system of collaboration, and at the end of that, you add the word and. Then there's a new subparagraph 2, after that one, if one, this will be F2, which says resolve dispute regarding the QC. In page 15, close 15, sorry. Clause 15, now share in the clause 15, perhaps I will just preface it by saying, because this wasn't here last week, by saying that the Dutta very strongly motivated the question of the representation, the representation of organized labor. And apparently further, there have been further discussion with the ministry on this matter, but we know very strongly that the proposal by Petrusa in terms of the representation by organized labor, we believe that they want at least two, but preferably three members, and therefore we'd like to propose the following. Even the clause 15 as it appears on the page, there's a slight adjustment. It says on page 7 to 9 4, after standard to
insert, provided that three must be appointed, but we're changing the proposal on three to say, provided that at least two members must be appointed from the nominations made by organized labor. At least two members must be appointed from the nominations made by organized labor. So it does not exclude three, but just in terms of, you know, this numbers, this permutation in terms of numbers, that we don't overreach ourselves. So let's say at least two members, and you know, the minister will in a judgment, you know, whether there is space for another one, can go to three if necessary. So that is clause 15, that at least two members must be appointed from the nominations made by organized labor. Then we go to clause 29. Clause 29 is a simple technical amendment that we remove the 1 after 29 and we remove the 2, and both 1 and 2 becomes one paragraph. We remove 1 and we remove a subclause 2, the wording 2 or the letter 2 and the letter 1. And that becomes one paragraph. The two sentences then becomes one paragraph. Then clause 33. Clause 33. Page 11 in line 9 after and, to omit duration and to substitute conditions. That will therefore read, must specify the terms and conditions of the delegation. Must specify the terms and conditions of the delegation. Then clause 36. Clause 36 on page 11 in line 34, after this act, to insect, unless amended in terms of Section 9 of this Act and Section 3 of the Higher Education Act. So that is added to the end of Clause 36.
So those are the proposed amendments for the National Qualifications Framework Bill, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, can I just raise a point, and I apologize for this. I know it's not our role now to participate, but it is a technical issue that I think on these amendments we just need a little bit of guidance from your committee, Chair. It's in relation to the proposed amendment to Clause 9, where we have moved the Clause 8 section, and we have now included it together with Clause 9.
If you look at the document that the Honourable Van Heerden was reading from, Chair, it reads that it would now be that the Minister, after consultation with the Minister of Labour, must A, advance the achievement of the objectives, and 5, B, uphold the coherence and credibility of the interest. It's a sub-T that is a problem,
because sub-T then says cooperate in discharging their responsibilities. Now, the way we worded the stem here, Chair, is to say that the minister must. Now, you can't ask a minister to cooperate with herself.
And that's actually the implication of what we've got from T now. The root says the minister, after consultation, must, and then T says cooperate in discharging
their responsibilities. Now, Chair, that's, as I say, just on a language basis. I'm sure there's sufficient imperatives in the constitution of the country
to ensure that ministers do cooperate, etc. But certainly, T, as it's worded at present, is linguistically difficult and perhaps conceptually not necessary. So, Chair, sorry to raise this, but I think it should just perhaps get some consideration.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to
be that. It is, yes.
With the flow of that subclause. Hey, I don't know whether there's anything that we left out as far as the amendments on. Do you have? Yes, on the.
Chair, as I raised last week, and I went to revisit that, and I just want to make sure I don't have a problem at all, but on page 7, where we go to clause 15 on the where the nominations must come from and who should be on this board, I would still feel much more comfortable if we can somehow, some way work in that those people or organisation mentioned in 4, that is in line 20, clause 4, A, B, C, D, E, F, where we can actually say they must be from each of the following. Because what we are saying here is that the minister must invite nomination for the appointment from. But what happens if, for example, somebody doesn't nominate from each of those sectors? And I would actually like to see that on this board, there must be one from those different sectors. And somewhere we have to word it like that, which would make me and the DA feel much more comfortable. Because if you read the whole clause 3, 4, 5, it nowhere says they must come from there. It's only the nominations will be invited from all of them. What if, for any reason, somebody is not nominated from one of those sectors?
Maybe another complication. If we say to the Gazette, whatever, you must nominate, for whatever reason, the professional body decided not to, why not decided not to, can we be stuck and say, I'm saying, my reading as it stands, if those do nominate, one will come from all those 4, 6. That's my reading. But if whatever reason, one of those decide, no, I'm not bothered, they don't nominate anybody, I don't think the minister can be stuck and wait for somebody who is not. Maybe I'll allow the legal people now to just my understand. I think her concern is, suppose all those six do nominate, is there a possibility that the minister can say, no, I love the first three. I'm not going to consider anybody from E for F as it stands now. I think that is her concern.
Chair, perhaps just two comments. One is, of course, that although the minister is required to invite nominations from these subsectors, once this is gazetted, in a sense, it becomes a public process, and anyone, in fact, could make such a nomination. You or I could make a nomination for someone from a professional body to sit on here. So the fact that the nominations must be drawn from these certainly is not exclusive to say you can't get other nominations as well. So one would certainly anticipate, I think, that there would be nominations from all of these. But, Chair, I think the best answer is in B1. B1 requires that the membership of the SACWA board should be broadly representative of the education and training sectors, and I think with that protection, we should expect all of these six sectors at least to be represented.
And I agree, I understand that, but I'm saying, you know, so this B1 actually says must be broadly representative, so you can still have one not in. And somewhere I would have liked us to say it must be from each of the following.
Yeah, it's just the issue that you raised. If the specific constituency is not making a nomination, you cannot force them. And what would be the implications then? It means the minister cannot appoint the council, the authority, and that can then have severe implication on the function in terms of this legislation. The broadly representative is obviously must be interpreted. If a nomination has been made, then the minister must carry it through and make an appointment from that constituency.
I don't know, this is my concern. Once we put it in law that it must be from this, it would mean if whatever the reason, they decide, the professional, they say, we're fed up, we're not interested. That means that board would not be appointed because we have to wait and try to force them to in order. But I think this is broadly saying our first preference is that these be there, and they know in law they are there. But we cannot force them. Even the one that says, for example, I think to me it's good enough, it's accommodative, but it's not binding. Once we put must from each, it would mean not only should we gazette this, we must go all out and say, professional bodies, are you aware? Are you coming? When are you coming? Can we wait? Do we give you an extension of time? Why don't you do this? But that would be very complex if we were to do that and put in law. I'm just saying that.
Chair, it's not necessary for making quite a big issue out of it. I've just went to study various other acts from this parliament where actually it says one must be nominated by each of the following, must come from this or must be this or must be that. So it is just, it can also be from the other side. It cannot be because they don't want to appoint, maybe for some reason they didn't know about the nomination request that is out. So it's also assisting to make sure that all the role players and sectors are actually represented. That's what I'm trying to get to, is for example, organized labor slipped to nominate a person. And I'm trying to ensure that they do nominate a person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the whole board must be, but at least one from each of the following must be on that board.
I think that the point, Prof, I think is to... I think the... essence of the argument here from Honorable Van der Waalt is to ensure representativity from each and every organizational body, that we shouldn't leave it hanging so as to create an impression that we can perhaps get nominations from other organizations that are not mentioned here. Hence, the word must come from each of these organizations.
Honorable Anir.
Yeah, Chair, I don't know if, you know, it's a question of phraseology. I don't know if that's not overkill, because it says the minister must invite nominations, and then it lists all of those. You know, for us now to say they must, you know, I mean, these are bodies who have made representations here, and look, A, there are persons involved in education and training. Obviously, those are individuals. But the others are organizations, are professional bodies, as organized labor, organized business. All of these have particular organizations and constituencies that represent them by name. I don't know if the state law advisor says that this is, you know, that it's, I mean, that by and large we covered in terms of legislation, then it's fine. But it sounds like a bit of overkill to say that they, you know, to say now, what if they don't? You know, I mean, we can't go to that length, Jay.
Sorry, through you, Prof. If you look on page 4 of the paper that was read by Honorable Van der Heever, page 4, number 1, it says in line 4, after standards to insert, provided that the three must be appointed from the nominations by organized labor. I think that flows into exactly what she's saying.
Flowing, this is where I'm seated. That is flowing from the public hearing. I'm saying we are accommodating what they said. The public were here. They submitted. They did. Not a single one said what was said. The truth of the matter. And the one that we can refer to the judgment that we gave you from the center. Sedusa Costrato specifically said we would like to be represented. And we are responding to that. And others are accommodated. If you go by the public hearing, what we did, the people were here, they were all comfortable. And we slept, we didn't look at what Fedusa, Costato, and NAGD were saying. All we're doing now is to accommodate them according to their own request. And we put it. And I'm saying, if we do it that throughout, we might as well, if we say two from labor, one from this, at the end of the day, we're closing. As I say, not closing because we want to close others out, but once we tie it, we say they have to come from. We are binding, I don't know the example that you are quoting, for example. It could be a different bit. We are talking SAQA here, a broad, something that deals with quality broadly. Those are not specific stakeholders. We are saying when we are dealing with health, it is nurses, it is this and this and that, because we are dealing with this a broad qualities body that encompasses. And if you look at that subclause 3, it opens this. We need the broad foundation, we need talent knowledge, we want this and that, and therefore, if for whatever reason, for example, the organized business decide they don't want to, we cannot force them to be, but we are trying to get experts in the field. Maybe let's stop. I don't want us to move around in circles. I think we understand. Yes. Any other comments then on the NQF other than that one? I don't know. Maybe the best thing I want us to be true with this one, because the others flow from this. So I want to propose now that we go to this one clause for clause, so that we do know because the others, once you have agreed on this, the others simply flow for that. So what I'm going to be doing now is to go to clause by clause so that we can show our understanding, what we feel, and then we'll come to state. Can we therefore start with the long title? Can I take that we are all agreed with that long title to provide for the national qualification framework?
Agreed.
Can we go to the preamble as a whole, all those whereas, and the it therefore? Are we all happy with that?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Let us go to the definitions. There are two amendments on those definitions. The two amendments, if I remember, are the Skills Development Act, that is line 24, we just took away the 1998, and line 30, we just took away the 2001. Are we happy therefore with the definition? Are we happy with the definition?
Yes. Agreed.
Clause 2, object of the Act. Agreed. Clause 3, application of the Act. Agreed. A clause 4 with that amendment where we took away the guidelines.
Agreed.
Clause 5 with that amendment in line 50 where we said a single integrated national. Clause 6 as it stands with no amendment. Clause 7, we said, the very first line, there is one single integrated. I think that was the amendment there.
Yes.
Are we happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
We did away with Clause 8, but not doing away with it, so we just transplanted it, we put it at the end of 9. And so that we don't have the original 8. We are going to have a new 8, which is now our 9. Now I'm going to that 9. In that 9, we made an amendment in line 43, QC for general and further education. And we also said the minister is the overall executive. And then we transplanted clause 8 as subsection 3. And we changed the minister in consultation, and we said after consultation. And we had a new sub 3, which was the transplant of that one. And then we rewrote again that 3 that we have here as 4 and changed it a little bit. Let us call therefore that clause 9.
Yeah.
Are we hit? Is that clause 9?
Yeah. Yeah, Chair, just... I mean, in terms of what you said, perhaps there's a slight oversight. It's not a total transplant of Clause 8, because 8 says the minister in consultation with the Minister of Labour, and this one says after consultation. You perhaps just missed it.
And sub C got taken out, I think, based on the discussion.
Concern of Tau. We're happy with clause 10. We're happy with clause 11. We're happy with clause 12 as amended.
Yes.
Where we did away with facilitation and just said coordinate.
Yes.
We are happy with clause 13. We had a number of minor amendments there. With those amendments.
Mm-hmm.
Are we happy with clause 15? With the new amendment in 50 years, yes.
Yeah, when Honorable Boinamo referred to it, he referred to it without the change that we proposed. I just want to remind members that there's a change to what appears here on the paper. clause 15 on page 794 after standards to insert, provided that at least two members. That's the amendment that we're proposing. That at least two members must be appointed from the nominations made by organized labor. Thank you.
Are we happy there with clause 15?
Agreed.
Clause 17.
Agreed.
Clause 18.
Agreed.
Clause 19.
Agreed.
Clause 20.
Agreed.
Clause 21.
Agreed.
Clause 22.
Agreed.
Clause 23.
Agreed.
Clause 24.
Agreed.
Clause 25.
Agreed.
Clause 26.
Agreed.
27.
Agreed.
28.
Agreed.
With then amendments, no amendments, believe. Clause 29, with amendments where we just took two out and
yeah.
One.
Agreed.
Agreed with 29. Are we happy with 30?
Agreed.
31.
Agreed.
32.
Agreed.
33 with amendment.
33, agreed with amendments.
34.
Agreed.
35.
Agreed.
36 with amendments.
Agreed with amendments.
37.
Agreed.
38.
Agreed.
And 39.
Agreed.
Can we vote on the bill itself now with all its amendments? Are we happy with all these amendments, the bill as amended? Yes. Great. I need to formalize that now. Let me read this. This is the National Confidence Framework Bill, Motion of Desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for the National Confidence Framework, to provide for the responsibilities of Minister of Education, and the Minister of Labour to provide for the South African Qualification Authority, to provide for the Quality Council, to provide for transitional arrangements, to repeal the South African Qualification Act 1995, and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Are we happy with this motion?
Agreed.
Agreed. Can we cross over now to the national for GenFedCoin. I will start with GenFedCoin.
Chair?
Yes.
Just from the side of the ANC, just to alert you, there's this one amendment which is being proposed, which is a technical amendment. That is clause 14. It is clause 14 on page 6. And that is line 11, page 6, line 11. The dates there are wrong in 2B. It says Further Education and Training Colleges Act, and it refers to 1998 Act number 16 of 1998, and we are saying to substitute it with 2006 Act number 16 of 2006.
Are we together, Ted? We see that change. See that change is correcting the year. It is not 1898. It is always in 2006. That's the point I'm out to get. The GenFedCoin.
Yeah, GenFedCoin. Yes.
Yeah.
I was a bit lost here where it was were you reading on page we're, 6?
We're page,
first paragraph.
Six, page 6, line 11.
Line 11.
Line 11. It says Further Education and Training Colleges Act 1998. Page 6, line 11. Of the GenFedCoin. It reads Further Education and Training College Act 1998. 1998. All we are doing is to correct that year. It's not 1998, it is 2006. Dr. Mponjan, we are now looking at the Zenfetqua.
Yeah, I'm on the Zenfetqua. The confusion was mine was right, and I was trying to check where he was reading. The date are right.
Maybe I'm having a wrong document. So it's good. So if it's correct, then. Now, if we're saying the same thing, no problem. Can we go through now that bill, then, Fred? Are we together now?
No, we're going through the bill.
We're going to go to clause for clause.
Okay.
This bill has been amended on in the light of the N2F. So the changes are reflected on it. We're just going to go through it now. Are we ready to do that? Can we? Long title. Are we here with the long title? Let us go to clause, to the preamble. Are we here with the preamble? Can we go to clause 1, clause 2, clause 3, clause 4, clause 5, clause 6, clause 7, clause 8, clause 9, clause 10, clause 11, clause 12, clause 13, clause 14 with the amendment. Clause 15, clause 16. Can you vote on the bill now as it stands, the amendment bill, the Zenfetqua bill? Are we happy with that?
Yeah, well.
Can you go to the motion? Where is the motion? General and Further Education and Training Quality Assurance Amendment Bill, B35 of 2008, motion of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the General and Further Education and Training Quality Assurance Act 2001 so as to make it consistent with the National Qualification Framework Act 2008 and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bills referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Are we happy with that? Thank you all so much. That takes us to the higher education. Where is higher education? Again, if you look at the higher education, the changes there underlined and otherwise as a consequence of our new N2F. I'm going to go through it again, clause for clause. The long title, clause 1, clause 2, clause 3, clause 4, clause 5, clause 6, clause 7. The bill itself, the motion. Higher Education Amendment Bill D34 of 2008, motion of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Higher Education Act 1997 so as to make it consistent with the National Qualification Framework Act 2008. And to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Are we happy with that? Thank you ever so much. We are going to be reporting to the House. that these bills have been agreed to unanimously. All parties have agreed to this bill. And we can now cross over to a few announcements. Just remind us now. A reminder that we have this. We have next week. Come on. Next week we are going to be updated by the department on the carry good.
On the
carry good. Okay. This. What do you call it? This literacy.
Mass
literacy program. So that we do know and how we can be involved in that. That is next Tuesday. And then next Tuesday again we'll be debating this. Not debating, just presenting this. It will be more of presenting. I don't even know whether we need all to take that platform. But it will be just be presenting what this bill is all about. But we can, do you all have to take a stand and say that we agree to this bill? Are we happy that I represent you to say what this bill was all about, what we agreed to?
Except the little problem that we indicated, it doesn't make much difference.
No, all I'm saying now, do we want to all parties to have a say there to what we are saying about this bill? Or can I represent you and say what is it that... But on the bill itself, I think we have agreed to it.
Yeah.
So why don't you give that to me to say what is that we agreed to?
Okay.
I don't even know the time perspective. I don't know. But I'm sure if you tell Parliament that we have agreed to, I just take the platform and say what it was all about, how many people did make submissions, and why are we saying what we're saying. Are we happy with that? Yeah. So we have agreed to that. No, thank you there. No. I could brief you that the essence of that campaign is always saying education is a societal issue. All structures must be part. Learners, educators, parents, officials, and the community. It's just a call to say back to basics. All of us must be involved. Just a few announcements, therefore. Remember, we, as a committee, we have been invited. Thanks ever so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Yes. Just a reminder. As a committee, we have been invited to join the People's Parliament in Mpumalanga. And the People's Parliament in Mpumalanga is on the 17th and 18th of September. And again, as part of that, on the 15th and 16th, we have an oversight visit where this committee will be visiting schools around. This is just a reminder. We did say last week that a delegation of seven, all of us, all members are invited to be part of the People's Parliament on the 17th and 18th. But over and above that, a delegation from the Polo Committee will be visiting schools on the 16th and 17th.
Is it not 17th and 18th?
On the 15th and 16th. A delegation of seven will be doing that. So we have a formula that will be 4 ANC and 3 from other parties. Come again. No, let's not go to those details now. He is going to look after that and to come somewhere. And I think that was that. Annele, what is there any other announcement that I've forgotten?
Yes, but we just need to
read the report.
For this
I'm told to read reports now. Annette, where were you? I'm told though we have finished, we're not finished. I have something to read here that you need to read to. Let me start with the N2F. Sorry for that. Let me read this. Report of the Polo Committee on Education on the National Qualification Framework dated 12 August 2020. The Polo Committee on Education has been considered the subject of the National Qualification Framework Bill B3208, National Assembly Section 75, referred to it and is classified by the Joint Technical Mechanism as a Section 75 bill. Reports the bill with amendment. Can I find that? Do I have this read? It is the same story, but now we are referring to the GenFedCon. Do I read it again? Let me read it for the record. The report of the Protocol Committee on Education on General and Federal Education and Training Assurance Amendment Bill, B35 of 208, National Assembly, Section 76, dated 12 August 2008. The Protocol Committee on Education has been considered the subject of the General and for the Education and Training Qualification Assurance Amendment Bill, B35 of 208, National Assembly, Section 76, referred to it and classified by Joint Technical Mechanism as a Section 76 bill, reports the bill with amendments, B35A28, signed on behalf of the committee. Can I sign that on your behalf?
Yes.
Higher Education. Report of the Public Committee on Education on Higher Education, Amendment Bill B3328, National Assembly, Section 76, dated 12 August 2008. The Postal Committee on Education has considered the subject of the Higher Education Amendment Bill National B3428, National Assembly, Section 76, referred to it and classified by the Joint Taking Mechanism as a Section 76 bill. Reports the bill with amendment. Signed. Can I sign that?
Yes.
Yes, we're definitely through with the bill. And I think that is that. Thanks ever so much. We meet next week.
Thank you. So I'll be representing all political...
Sorry?
So I'll be representing all
because political... Because all political parties are speaking with one voice agreeing to this. So... Oh, thanks. Thank you ever so much. I really appreciate this cooperation.